Have you guys ever had to wait a really long time for something? And I'm not just talking about waiting a minute, a few minutes, a few weeks. Have you ever had to wait months, years, decades for something? What I want us to think about tonight is that the Bible says that when Jesus was first born, there were many people who were waiting for his arrival. Of all the people who were waiting, there was no one who was waiting more for the arrival of Jesus Christ than a man named Simeon. He was leading the way in waiting eagerly for the coming of Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Simeon. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, where he is introduced to us. We're told that he was a godly man. Perhaps he was an older man, although the Bible doesn't tell us what his exact age is, and so we don't know for certain. What we do know is that a promise was given to Simeon, a special promise from God that he would not see death until he had seen the promised Christ. That promise changed Simeon's life because every day was a day of waiting. I imagine Simeon waking up each morning wondering if today is the day when the Savior comes. I imagine him going to bed each night, wondering whether the next day could be the day of his arrival. The text that I'm going to read tells us about the day when Simeon meets this child that he has been waiting for. It is an incredible and unforgettable scene. Simeon welcomes this month and a half year old Savior by meeting him in the temple courtyard and picking him up in his hands, in his arms, so that the sovereign Lord who created the entire universe and holds all of the waters in the universe in the palm of his hand is now the one who is being held in the hands of a man that he has made. It's an incredible scene. And when Simeon lifts him up, he lifts his voice as well in a song of praise. This is Simeon's song. This is the fourth of four songs for the Savior recorded in Luke chapters 1 and 2. And let's remember, as I read these few verses, this isn't just Simeon's words to Joseph and Mary. These are the words of God to us as well. God himself speaks to us through his Holy Word. And so let's read together so that we can discover together who this baby is and why it is that he came. We're not going to have 3 points. Actually, there are 3 points, but after the drama, I pulled the points and we're going to go short. You probably won't even catch what the points are. All right? Only the astute listeners. We're going to read beginning in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. What does Simeon's song teach us about who this child is, about who this baby is? The first thing that Simeon says in verse 29 in his song, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. When he says that he's ready to depart in peace, what Simeon is saying is that he is ready to die in peace. He's ready to leave this world. And the reason that he's able to say that is because he says his eyes have seen God's salvation. This baby is the one who is our comfort in death. How is it that you can reach the point where you can say, I'm ready to depart in peace? What do you think about when you think about death? For those who have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sin, there is a radical transformation of our view, even of death itself. So that Simeon, a man who is holy and devout, doesn't claim his holiness and his devoutness as the basis of his comfort in dying. In other words, he doesn't say, now I'm ready to depart in peace because I'm a pretty good person, because I'm a holy man and a devout man. He doesn't say that because he knows that all of the holiness and all of the devoutness in the world isn't good enough to get you into heaven when you die. He knows that Christ alone can be his peace in death. And it's the same for you and for me. Simeon is better than we are. He outdoes us both combined, all of us, on the goodness scale. And yet he knows that he needs a Savior if he is to depart in peace. This baby is our comfort in death. The song continues. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Who is this baby he is holding? He is the Savior of the world. Mary and Joseph, when they hear this, they marvel at it, is what the next verse says there. Verse 33, it says, his father and his mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him. Mary and Joseph knew he was a Savior. They had been told that he would come to save. And so what is it about that they're told now that makes them marvel? I think the answer is that now for the first time to Mary and Joseph, the scope of this salvation is being unfolded. In other words, it is a salvation that God brings not just to one specific people group, the Jews, Israel. It is a worldwide plan of salvation that is for Gentiles and Israel alike. And so these are the words of the text. God has prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples, meaning a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. They marvel, Mary and Joseph, when they hear Simeon's words as he holds this baby in his hands, they marvel because this baby is the one who is going to be the worldwide Savior. He will come for all people. He will come for every age group, every social class, every ethnicity, the popular and the unpopular, the wealthy and the poor, the married and the single, every tribe and language and people and nation. There is in the person of Jesus Christ a universal proclamation and invitation to the gospel and to salvation that comes to us in Christ, where God says in his only Son, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. This salvation is something that has been prepared in the presence of all people. It's been something that has been prepared in my presence and something that has been prepared in your presence, meaning that it's a salvation that is intended and aimed at you and aimed at us. The extent, the efficacy of this salvation is something that is for all people, so that when you come here, when you hear Christ proclaimed, when you hear us lift our voices in song, when you hear God's word, it should be that you see these as things that are directed to you. It's not just about the other people that are here. The things that I'm saying now, that God is saying in his word, are not just about the other people. This is about everyone, not just religious people, not just people with the churched upbringing, not just people who are in the upper class, not just a certain type of personality, not just conservatives, not just for your parents' generation. No, this gospel, this Savior is the Savior of the world. And so it's no wonder that Mary and Joseph are amazed, absolutely astonished at who this Savior is who has come to them. Simeon, as he interacted with them, would have been able to see the joy. He would have been able to see the sense of wonder, the sense of amazement, the giddy sense of happiness that Mary would have had, which is why what Simeon says after his song is so surprising and so unexpected. He says, and this is in verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, listen to this, feel the weight of these words. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, he says to Mary, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. Who is this child that Simeon holds in his arms? He is the object of opposition. He's not only the one who is our comfort in death, he's not only the Savior of the world, he is the object of opposition. Simeon calls him a sign that is opposed, meaning of this baby, people are going to oppose him. People are going to reject him. People are going to revile him. And those words cast their shadow over every one of these songs for the Savior. It is a very strange thing to tell a new mother. Mothers who are understandably and naturally worried about the well-being of their children, wondering and hoping that the other kids aren't going to make fun of my son, and I hope he does okay in life, and I hope he doesn't get hurt. Simeon does the equivalent of showing up in the hospital room with a big card that says, "Congratulations, many are going to hate him." With the balloon, opposition is sure to come. And so you read it and you say, Simeon, what are you doing? Why are you saying this to Mary about this baby? Why are you saying that this child is going to be a sign that is opposed? The answer is that Simeon is preparing Mary for what was to come. And the opposition that her firstborn son would face 30 years after this moment. And that God is preparing us through these words to be able to handle and have a category for seeing Christ opposed and rejected. That like Mary, we would not give up or grow weary when we see this Savior opposed. What is the sword that would pierce Mary's soul? He says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Simeon is foretelling the sorrow that Mary would one day experience when she would look upon her son, perhaps with tears in her eyes, and stand by as he is criticized and blasphemed and mocked and beaten and unjustly tried and condemned and eventually nailed to a cross of wood and killed. She was there. John, in his gospel in chapter 19, says that there by the cross stood Mary, his mother. That moment was the sword that pierced her soul, a depth of anguish and sorrow that we can only imagine she felt as his mother. When he was a baby, she would have wept tears of joy. Later, it would be tears of sorrow when, as a grown man, he would be marred beyond recognition, when he would die on the cross, not only receiving the opposition of man, but enduring the full weight of the wrath of God against sin. This is what he received when he was on the cross, and this is what Mary observed, and it is what Mary is spoken to of in Simeon's words when he says that he will be opposed and that it will be as a sword that pierces through her own soul. And just as Jesus was opposed by people in his day, Jesus is still opposed by many in our day. So that everywhere we look, there are people who reject the Christ of Scripture, people who reject the message of the gospel, scoffing at what they call narrow-minded Christianity, appealing to be more broad-minded and inclusive. The Jesus who is a good example, we welcome. The Jesus who is a good teacher, we welcome. The Jesus who died on the cross as a substitute for our sins, the Jesus who claims equality with God, the Jesus who comes and demands undivided allegiance to himself, the Jesus who comes and says that he is the only way of salvation, and that salvation and judgment, rising and falling, are the eternal destination of everyone, and it all hinges upon who he is and what we think of him. That Jesus we crucify. That Jesus is not accepted by many. And yet, we are told this, that he will be opposed, a sign that is opposed, so that we'd have a category for this, so that when you're talking to your unbelieving friends and relatives, you'd have a category for when people reject Christ, for when they mock followers of Christ, that like Mary, you stay strong because you can say, this is who Jesus is. He is a sign that is opposed, and he has been established for the rise and the fall of many. He has been appointed for this very purpose. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, you need to deal with who Jesus says he is. This is what Christmas is all about. He came for the rising and for the fall of many, and everything, eternity, hinges upon what we make of this Christ, so that there are many who have turned from their sin and have trusted in this Christ and will now rise to heaven with him, and there are those who reject Christ and this way of salvation and trust in their own goodness and say, I believe I'm good enough to work my own way to get to heaven, and they fall. Nothing could be more important. This is what we're reminded of this Christmas. Who is this baby that Simeon holds in his hands as he sings this song? He is our comfort in death. He is the Savior of the world, and he is the object of opposition, which was necessary that we might be saved. Jesus Christ was born to die. And so let's remember this Christmas that what we celebrate in the coming of Christ, who was born and placed in that manger, is the one who would eventually hang on a cross for the forgiveness of the sins of all who would trust in him, that we might live for him, that we might sing songs of joy to the Savior, and that we might live lives of undivided allegiance to this God who has saved us. Let's pray together. Father, our hearts are filled with thankfulness this Christmas, gathered together as the people of God whom you have saved. And we ask that you would fill our hearts now with joy and wonder in what you have done. We ask that Simeon's words would come alive in our hearts, that we would see something of the glory and the wonder of this baby who was held in his hands and lifted up, not only in his hands, but on the cross, that we might be saved. And Father, we ask as well that you would work your saving grace in the lives of those who do not know you. I pray that there would be people here who respond to the call of your sovereign grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.